Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word, and that's what it means, family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. We're sliced that middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form what Paul calls one new humanity, one new man, which will make a full dwelling place for the Spirit of God. And we're coming right to that point right now. I was interviewing Matt Sorger, and we started talking about his mother, and I said, could you put her on the phone? Because, Veronica, I believe that what you have to share is going to help so many people right now. When Matt was about 12 years of age, you became sick. No, not just sick, very sick. You went to doctors. They couldn't help you. You went to alternative health people. They couldn't help you. Then you resorted to things like Hinduism and Buddhism and New Age. But instead of getting better, what happened to you?
Well, I actually grew worse and worse. And it was like I was on a journey looking for a way that God would not only heal me, but it actually originated with the desire in my heart to find out how God would heal people here on earth. That's when my journey began, and during that journey, I became very ill.
And, of course, you got to the point where you're bedridden, and towards the end of 1986, your mother invited you to a church service, and you've tried everything else, so you go to this church, you're in the back of the church, and what happened?
Well, I was extremely broken. There was no pride. I was as broken as any person could be. And I was calling out for the mercy of God and that he would heal me, because there was no man, there was no medicine, there was not even any religious form that was able to help me. So I just totally threw myself on his mercy.
And what happened to you?
Well, the priest asked everyone to come up who needed prayer for healing. So I actually had never heard of the power of God coming on anyone. I had never seen it or experienced it myself. So my mind understanding was just that the priest would pray for me, and that would be it. And I was actually in a place of more hope. The scripture I went there on is, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give rest for your soul. I didn't really have an awareness of any healing scriptures at that point. And when the priest went to anoint me with oil, he never really even was able to get the oil on me, because I was overshadowed by this incredible power that literally threw me back through the air, and I hit the floor. And while I was on the floor, there was charges and volts of electricity flowing through every part of my body. And the amazing thing was, I was in a place of euphoria. I always tell people it's very difficult to describe it, but it was totally euphoric, bliss, peace. And first, I knew that I had found God. And secondly, the place was such an incredible experience that it's difficult to put it in words, that I have often wondered if the Lord had said to me, would you like to be here, if I wouldn't have said yes, because there's just nothing on the face of this earth to compare to the place that I was experiencing while I was laying there on the floor with all these volts of electricity flowing through me.
Now, I understand the power was so strong that when it first hit you, it threw you back. How far would you say?
I would say easily it threw me back perhaps 10 feet.
Did you hurt yourself?
Well, actually, not at that time. I was in such a place where it was absolutely beautiful. I didn't feel any hurt or anything at all.
I mean, what a jolt of power.
Yeah. But the very next day, I actually had trouble turning my neck. And when I asked the Lord, I was so innocent in my faith and so childlike that I just simply said to my Father in heaven, you hurt me when you did that to me. Could you please take it away? And instantly, as the words came out of my mouth, it totally left and I was healed.
Well, this made such an impression on Matt that as a result of you being healed, it did transform his life. Just out of curiosity, what kind of kid was he before he became a believer in the Messiah?
Well, Matt was always a very good child, actually exceptionally good child, very bright. And even as a young boy, when we would go to church at times, as a Catholic, I didn't go faithfully, but he loved it. He would actually was eager to go. There was something in Matt at a very young age that he was just drawn very, very easily to the Lord.
Hi, Matt. Now, when your mother was healed, it had an effect on you. Tell me, what effect did it have?
Yeah, when the night that my mom got healed and she came home from that Catholic healing mass, she walked through the front door and she looked like a totally different person. She was bright, she was happy, she was smiling for the first time in 2 years. And instantly I knew something dramatic had happened. And I asked her, I said, "What happened to you?" And she said, "Jesus healed me tonight." And she began just to tell me about God and the reality of Jesus, how he stepped into her life that night. And within a day, I was giving my heart to Jesus. And it was strange what happened to me. As she was talking to me about Jesus, all of a sudden, inside of my spirit or inside of myself, I received an awareness of sin, which I did not have up till that point. All of a sudden, I could feel the sin that was there.
And yet your mom just said you were a pretty good kid before you were saved.
You know, I guess I was a good kid, but even if you're a good person, there's still sin in the heart. Even if you're a really good person, everyone needs to be forgiven because no one's perfect. So, but I became aware of the sin nature. I became aware of the element of sin that was there. And I knew I needed forgiveness. And that's what led me that day to salvation in Christ. I saw what happened with my mom, but then the Holy Spirit personally touched my heart.
And okay, so that was about age 14. But then, here's the thing I don't understand. Help me out, Matt. At 15, you would go into and I was involved when I first became a believer. I would go to what was called the Catholic Charismatic Movement because that was the only charismatic that was available at that time. And I would feel the presence of God. But then when I would worship by myself, I wouldn't feel that same degree of anointing. Did you find that was also true with you?
That's exactly what happened to me. When we started to go to church, well, at that point, you know, we encountered God. My parents found a good spirit-filled Bible-teaching church. We started attending. During the corporate meetings of church, I would feel this amazing presence of God during the worship time. Then I would come home, and I would go into my room and have my own prayer time where I would just talk to God, and I wouldn't feel his presence at all. It was very different for me. And something on the inside of me started to rise up where I said, "Lord, or God, you know, I want to experience your presence one-on-one, not just when I'm at church. And I wanted more of God than just one day a week in a Sunday morning church service." Yep.
But here's the thing I don't get. You knew nothing. Like me, when I got saved, I came from a traditional Jewish background. You came from a Catholic background. We both knew nothing. But you would take about an hour a day and worship the Lord, whether you felt anything or not.
Yeah.
What caused you to do that? That's what I don't get.
It's true. You know, I think I just got so hungry for God. It wasn't something that came from someone telling me to do it. It just came out of my spirit. I think God was calling me. He was drawing me. And there was a hunger in me for him that I wanted.
What would you do? What would you play music?
I would go into my room and I would, well, back then we had cassette tapes.
In the olden days.
Okay. I would put my little tape recorder on and I had this one Hosanna worship CD. And I would play it, and I would let the music play in my room, and I would sing, just like we would sing at church. And I would spend about an hour doing this. I just let the whole tape play through both.
Every day?
Every day.
Okay, you finally reached what you call a saturation point. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I remember the moment it happened. I'm standing in my room, 15 years old, about 14, 15, and I'm lifting my hands up, singing a song I'd probably sung hundreds of times before. And then all of a sudden, to me, it felt like heaven opened up over me and this anointing, this presence, this tangible presence of God's glory filled me and then filled the whole room. And I believe, as I reflect on that, what happened was, you know, my spirit was sealed with the Holy Spirit when I got saved. But then as I kept pressing in worship, no matter what my soul felt or my body felt, because the Holy Spirit was still in my spirit, man. But as I kept pressing in and worshiping, a well was being dug out of my spirit, in my spirit, that eventually overflowed into my soul, overflowed into my body. I call that the saturation point, which means you just spend so much time in God's presence that he overflows out of your spirit into your soul, which is your emotions, into your body. And then that is when your senses begin to feel his presence.
How long did it take for that to happen in your life?
Well, for me, it was about, I would say, 4 months that I just worshiped.
And then after it happened, did every time you would worship, you would feel that abundance of the Spirit?
It was like once that breakthrough happened, it was there.
You know what? I believe that people that are listening to us right now are about ready to have a breakthrough in their life because you've got a brand new book, and it's called Power for Life. And when you were writing this book, I understand you had a visitation for 3 nights of angels. Did you actually see them? Did you feel them?
I felt them very strongly. As I was sitting at the table writing, reviewing the last words of the manuscript, the manuscript was due that week, and I pulled a whole week where I was just writing. And the last 3 nights, as I was there, an angel came behind me, and I could feel his presence behind me and his hand on my shoulder. And as I was writing and reviewing the manuscript, that angel stayed with me for 3 nights as I finished the manuscript.
Well, Mishpocha, I understand why, because when you read this book, you're going to learn how to plug into the power of God, how to pull your future into the now. There'll be no more waiting for answers. I know that's what you want. The book is called Power for Life, and we include 4 CDs, a series on how to pull your future into the now. That's what you need for a gift of $40. Call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697, 1-800-447-2697. Matt, there was a couple of key moments in your life, both very important. When you were 17, the Lord spoke to you about your real identity. Explain.
Yeah, that's right. It was I believe everyone is on a private journey in the Lord where God is bringing them from glory to glory and making them the person he's destined them to be. And one of the things I really believe is that if we are to have an extraordinary, power-filled, anointed life where we move into our future is brought into our now moment, there are times where God will have you deal with issues from your past because you can't move forward until you deal with your past. And for me, as God was raising me up and calling me and preparing me for his future work for me, one of the things he dealt with in my own heart was my sense of identity. I think because of what God was doing in my life, I was not the type of kid that just fit in with the crowd. I didn't fit in with the crowd. And as a result of that, I experienced some rejection. I experienced some things in my life that were very painful. And the Lord had to come into my heart and show me how even my painful life experiences distorted my sense of identity and self-image and self-worth. And the Lord had, I was going on a young adult retreat. I was one of the youngest ones there. And I was in prayer during the retreat, and the Lord spoke to me that my identity had become an idol. The way that I perceived myself had become an idol because it was exalted above what God said about me. And I didn't even realize that my perception was off. I didn't realize it. I didn't know it, that my identity was wrong or that there was a...
Just briefly so I can understand, what was this wrong identity?
It was a sense of rejection that I carried around with me where I just felt like an outcast. I felt like I didn't fit in. I felt like I didn't belong.
So how did he change this to have your correct identity?
Well, as I was praying, the Lord, through that weekend, the Lord began to give me revelation. First, he spoke to me at another point in the weekend that that my mindset, that the enemy had gotten a foothold in my mindset. And then another day later, he said, well, that foothold has been there so long, it's now become a stronghold. It's become something ingrained in your way of thinking, and you need to be set free from it. And then once I got that revelation that I actually needed to have my mind set free, I went to some of the leaders in the group, and we prayed together. And as we prayed together, this anointing came upon me, and I could feel inside my heart, in my soul, walls crumbling down. Literally emotional things, walls that had been built up on the inside of me just crumble and demolish, and I could feel freedom. And the Lord began to renew my mind, began to renew the way I saw myself, the way I saw God, the way I saw other people, and my whole identity began to get formed and solidified in Christ, who he said I was, who I was in God, and it totally set me free from the past so that I could be free to move forward.
And this is so important for everyone, because everyone has been wounded from the past. But then there was another highlight in your life where you spent a day with God at your office at the church. Briefly, tell me about that.
Yeah, this was when a few years passed, and you know, God was working in my life. And then the Lord called me into ministry, and I was a young pastor at the church. And as I was, one day I was walking into my office in the church, and as I opened up my office door, the literal tangible presence of God's glory was in my room, in my office. And I walked in, and the voice of God spoke to me, and he said, shut the door. I want to spend this whole day with you. So I shut the door. I sat down in my chair, and the weight of glory, so strong, I didn't even have to wait a minute. It was just right there. He was right there. He came upon me, and it must have been 12 hours where I spent the whole day, afternoon into the night, just in the manifest presence of God, one of the strongest glories I had ever experienced in my life.
And he spoke to you about taking time with him.
Yeah, because you know what happens is, and I think this happens with a lot of people, they start to pray, they start to set time aside with God, and then their mind goes in all these different directions of what they have to do and just things of life. And that is what started to happen to me that day. And I felt guilty, actually, for taking time to pray, because I knew I had other things I had to do in the natural. But the Lord spoke to me so clearly that day, and it shifted my whole life. It literally set a plumb line for my walk with God. And he said, if you don't have this time with me now, you will not be able to walk into what I have for you in the future. And at that point, as a pastor, I had no idea that God was going to launch me into a worldwide healing ministry, prophetic ministry, where we would see thousands saved and healed. I did not know that that was in God's plan for me back then. But all he told me was, you have to have this time with me now. It's vital if you want to move into what I have for you in the future.
And you know, it's like I can see how God is preparing you for what you would do in the future. But there's an area where most ministers that have a tremendous presence of God fall. And when you were a freshman in college, God spoke to you about the importance of character.
Yeah. It was the very first prophetic word God ever spoke to me. I was a freshman in college, and there was a word that the Lord gave me. He said, the top of my list for you is the bottom of your list, and the bottom of your list is the top of my list. And the Lord said to me, the top of my list for you is the refinement of your character, not the fulfillment of your ministry. He said, I want your roots to go so deep in me that when the day of success comes to you, you'll not be moved, but you'll be solid and strong. And the Lord showed me that day that his agenda for my life was the refinement of my character and building that firm foundation and having my personal roots go so deep in him that when he would use me in the future, that it would not move me at all. All the glory would go to God, and there would be a depth in my in my spirit.
You know, Matt, one of my concerns is there are so many young people in many new Bible schools that are getting moving in the prophetic, moving in signs and wonders, but it seems as though they're deficient in the character. They dress like the world. They talk like the world. They go to the same entertainment as the world. And I have a great trepidation that with all that power, they're still going to self-destruct.
Right. And you see, the power of God is accessed by faith. So you could be saved one day and by faith begin to access the prophetic, access the power realm, access miracles, but yet you've had no time for character development or that refinement. And I think it's so important that we teach people that you don't have to be perfect for God to use you, but let it be a priority in your heart for God to really refine you so that you can carry whatever anointing God chooses to give you for the long haul. It's not something that'll be temporary or momentary, but there'll be a real firm foundation, and it does take years to develop character.
You know, Matt, just kind of a P.S. on what you're saying. In the 40s, it was called the Great Healing Revival, and hundreds of men and women, it's just the presence, they got saved, the presence of God went on them, and the next day they were in a tent, and just about all of, and they accomplished good from the viewpoint people were healed, they accomplished good from the viewpoint people were saved, but all of them self-destructed. Not all, but most.
Yeah.
And that is so important. Why do you believe that God told you to write your new book, Power for Life, and the four CDs, How to Pull Your Future into the Now?
Well, I believe that God wants people, his people, to live an extraordinary life in his presence. You know, God wants our lives filled with power, not just power to heal the sick or power, you know, to walk in signs and wonders, but also power to live victoriously over sin, power to have joy, power to have peace. So I really...
Matt, with the times we're moving into, you don't have to be a prophet or a mental giant to see that, unfortunately, the U.S. economy
yes.
is on the downward roller coaster roll. But if people don't understand what God has taught you over the years, even though they know the Lord, I don't think they're going to stand.
Yeah. We need to know in these days, in this time that we're living in with everything being shaken, we need to know God is our source. We need to know how to plug into his power and presence, how to sustain it, and then release it through us to help other people. And I think it's such a vital time right now for people to really know for themselves how to do it. You know, it's one thing to see somebody else moving in the power or moving in an anointed life, but you want to know the behind-the-scenes stuff. How do you personally, in your day-to-day life, not just in a church meeting, but when no one else is there and you have to go to your secular job or you have to take care of your family or you just have to live your life, how do you do it with the power of God in every area of your life?
And you do such a masterful job. You really are a God-ordained teacher. I think people all around you are going to be attracted to you. I believe when you are so saturated with the Messiah that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And that's what's happened to my guest. His name is Matt Sorger. And Matt, I have to ask you about the time you did a youth retreat and the fire came.
Yeah, that was when I was a student in Bible school, and we were traveling on the weekends ministering, and, you know, I was brand new to any kind of type of preaching ministry. I wasn't necessarily a polished preacher, but they had asked me to preach and minister at this youth convention. So, you know, I'm up there, and I'm preaching, and I'm ministering, and it was up in Maine, so, you know, it was a bit of a religious atmosphere. The kids weren't really into it. I could hear them talking while I'm preaching. They're popping bubbles as they're chewing their gum. And I'm thinking to myself, this is just not going anywhere. I see the youth pastor on the front row looking at his watch, and I'm thinking, this, you know, I'm just going to close the meeting now. So I invite the piano player up to just kind of play a few chords, and I'm going to close in prayer. And as the piano player starts to play, I lift up my hands. I remember this moment. I lift up my hands to God, and I say a prayer, and I say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. And as the words came out of my mouth, a tangible wind came from over my head, and it blew down over my body, and then I felt it from behind me blow past my body. And as this tangible, physical wind, not a spiritual wind, a physical wind of God's presence blew past me, it hit the whole first row of kids and the second row, and without me saying anything, giving an altar call or anything, at the same time, they stood up to their feet, ran to the altar, threw their bodies on the floor, started weeping, crying, shaking under the power of God. I mean, it was a visitation of the tangible power of God.
Matt, that's a wonderful story, but I was thinking of what happened when you spoke in West Virginia. Briefly tell me that.
Yeah, that was another powerful service where, you know, it started out on the rough side. Worship started at 7, and, you know, the worship was still going at 8:30, and I looked around the room, and I saw half the room sitting down. The people weren't worshiping, and I thought to myself, God, this service needs a lot of help. You know, this is supposed to be a revival meeting, and it's just kind of dead. I don't feel your presence here. And then at 8:30, as I was just about to get up to transition the meeting with a program, you know, with announcements, let's just go on with the service, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, Matt, my power is going to hit this place at 9:00 tonight. And I looked at my watch and I saw it was 8:30. And I said, God, I said, that's a half hour from now. And all he said to me was, my power is going to hit this place at 9:00. So I stood up to the pulpit and I told the people exactly what I heard from the Father. I said, God just spoke to me. He said, his power is going to hit this place at 9:00 tonight. As the words came out of my mouth, it was like an electrified faith shot through the room. People jumped up to their feet and started worshiping. So we worshiped for another half hour. And I'm looking at my watch, just about 9:00. As the clock strikes 9, a tangible wind blows through the room. Now, I had told about a half hour before, I knew God was going to do something special. So I told the ushers, I said, shut the fans off, shut the air conditioning off, because when God moves in this place tonight, I want you to know that it's the Holy Spirit and not the fan blowing over your head. So there was no air movement in the room at all. And as the presence of God invaded that service, a physical wind blew over the people. They could feel like a warm breeze blowing by them. And then some could feel the fire of God go from the top of their head all over their whole bodies. And I called out to the people, I said, if the power of God just healed you, get up here right now. And people flooded the altars from one side of the altar all the way to the other side, standing shoulder to shoulder. Major miracles. I mean, no hands were laid on anybody. It was just God invaded the room. His glory filled the whole place en masse, and miracles broke out all over the room. And there was some really significant healings. One woman in the front, she was standing front and center. She had 25 years of fibromyalgia, and it was so severe, she had medication every day, but she still had pain. She said, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And as I stood there in front of her, the presence of God came on her, and she fell under the power of God. Now, I've never seen anything like this. I make a little joke about it, but the Lord gave her a pancake anointing. And basically what he did was he took her body and he flipped her on one side, then the other side, then the other side. And then her legs and arms shot straight up into the air. And I thought, how is she physically doing this? It was something very unusual. And then her body just collapsed on the floor. And we helped her stand up, and I asked her, I said, what just happened to you? She said, I've had fibromyalgia for 25 years, pain in every part of my body. And I just felt out of my arms and legs, I felt something getting pulled out of my body, and all of the pain is completely gone.
You know, I happen to believe that because your teaching is so balanced, is the reason that God can trust you with this power. And one of the major highlights in your life, I believe, occurred in 2009, just before Oral Roberts was promoted to heaven.
Yes.
You had a meeting with him.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes, I had a meeting with Oral Roberts. I spent the afternoon with him and just a small handful of other people. And this was shortly, just months before he went home to be with the Lord. We spent the afternoon with him, talking with him, asking him questions. He prayed over each one of us. And I asked him, I said, Dr. Oral, what was the secret to your miracle healing ministry? And he said to me, and I was really intrigued by his answer. He said to me that many people would think that faith was the key to his miracle healing ministry. He said, but it wasn't just faith. He said he knew he had faith just because the Word of God said he had faith. Every believer has faith. So he didn't really seek after faith. But when he would go into his crusade meetings, he would go into the hotel room alone and pray. And when he would pray, he said that he would ask God for love, that he aggressively sought the love of God. And as God's love was shed abroad in his heart for the people, that the miracles exploded in his crusade meetings as a result of a baptism of love. And that was a principle that God taught me, how supernatural love, the love of God in us, is a key to releasing God's power through us.
So out of curiosity, do you pray for a baptism of love before you speak now?
In my prayer time, I ask the Lord to fill my heart with his love, to shed his love abroad in my heart for the people. Because I know that when you love the sick, there is something like Jesus. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. When he was moved with compassion, there was a power released through him to heal the sick, even in inconvenient times for Jesus. You know, there was a time where Jesus just found out that John the Baptist was beheaded, and that was his cousin. So, you know, that's a family member for him. And Jesus was human just like he was God. He was a man, so he had emotions too. And he just found out John was beheaded, so he's going off to a solitary place just to be alone with God, just to pray. And the crowds follow him. And even though it's a time of need for Jesus, where he probably has to process what he's feeling, all of a sudden, all these people are around him. And the Bible says something extraordinary, that as he sees the people, his heart is moved with compassion for them. And he forgets about himself. He puts his own stuff to the side. And he starts to minister the power of God to the multitude. And they're all getting healed. And you know, the Lord brought me to the scripture where it says, faith works through love in Galatians chapter 5. Faith works through love. And if you study it in the Amplified Bible, it says faith motivated, energized, set into motion by love. And the Lord showed me that faith, yes, faith is a key to plug into the power and the supernatural. But it's the love that activates our faith, that energizes and actually empowers our faith to go into motion to release the miraculous and to release the demonstration power.
I am certain that that is one of the missing ingredients. In fact, you teach on character. I don't hear too many people doing that. You teach on love, and you teach on how to be transformed yourself to reach a saturation point with the power of God. As a matter of fact, I believe that God has given you an anointing that when people listen to your teaching or read your books, they have that same hunger you had as a young kid to just give yourself just completely to God and press in. Most people don't press in. That's the problem. And you have a new book called Power for Life with 4 CDs, How to Pull Your Future into the Now. Now, this book will teach the importance of fruit and character to carry God's power, how to have intimacy with God, to plug into the power of God, overcoming personal deception and strongholds, how we deal with the past so we can have vision for the future, how supernatural joy transforms us and releases God's power and freedom and healing to others, how we release God's power to others through love. This book is a now book. 3 angels were literally laying hands on Matt Sorger as he was writing this book, available for a gift of $40. Call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. 1-800-447-2697. On yesterday's broadcast, I was interviewing Matt Sorger, and he said that a highlight in his life occurred just before Oral Roberts went on to be with the Lord. Oral prayed over him and said the secret to his success is not his faith, although faith is important. It was his faith activated by love. And Oral laid hands on him and said that he prays for this compassion before he speaks. And I've been convinced of this from my own study of the scripture, that if we can walk in the Lord's compassion, all things are possible. Matt, you were in India in a leper colony. Now, most people would be afraid to even walk in there. Not only did you walk in, but you had a whole team of people. How could you do that?
Well, you know, I know they told me that leprosy is highly contagious, and when you go in and you see a leper colony and you see these folks, I mean, it's not a pretty sight. You know, their hands are gone, pieces of their face are gone, there's open sores, there's wounds.
But wait a second, weren't you afraid when you and team members hug these people, knowing how contagious it was?
You know, there was no fear in our hearts. And I'll tell you why, because there's something when you're moved with the heart of God. It was twofold for me. Number one, my faith says that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And I really have a revelation of this because I remember hearing a story of a woman, and it was my mom. Because she had come out of some New Age background. And when she got saved, she ran into one of her friends again who used to read auras and see energy fields around people. And as this woman looked at my mom, she said, "Oh, what happened to you? What's wrong with you? I can't see you anymore. All I see is this, you look red and you look fuzzy. What happened to you?" And basically what that demonic power through her was seeing was the blood of Jesus covering her. She was covered from head to toe under the red blood of Jesus Christ. So I know the reality in the spirit realm as a believer that we are covered and marked under the blood of Jesus. So before sickness or leprosy or anything can touch us, before it could touch our skin, it has to first touch the blood of Jesus. And when it touches the blood of Jesus, it dies. It can't stay. So when you're operating with faith and trust in the Lord, you don't have to worry about that stuff.
Now, I'm told very few people went to that leper colony. And I imagine what an impact when you and the team members hugged these lepers. They probably hadn't been hugged in years.
Some of them probably never. Some of our ladies on our team got down in the dirt and literally sat in the dirt and wrapped their arms around these women, these leprous women. And tears, you could see the tears streaming down their eyes, the lepers, because some of them had never been touched like that, never been held, never been loved. And as we prayed over them and just loved them and hugged them, you know, and then we did the outreach and we went home. I got a phone call 2 weeks after that from one of the Indian pastors, and he was weeping on the other end of the phone. He said, "Matt, I need to tell you, we went back to that leper colony. And when we went back, the lepers told me that when that white man came, when he put his hands on us, we felt something in our bodies, and the leprosy has been healed, and the leprosy has stopped." And he was weeping with the testimonies of these lepers being healed by the love and power of God.
Just briefly, tell me the essence of the 4-CD series we're making available, How to Pull Your Future into Your Now.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people settle down with an existence, or they settle for things in their life because they think God has, you know, relegated a certain blessing for a future time in their life, whether it's divine healing or an open door or fulfillment of destiny or purpose. And they relegate it to God's sovereignty. And they say, well, whenever God wants it to happen, it'll just happen. And I'm just going to sit here and wait forever. And then they end up waiting and waiting forever. But the Lord has shown me a secret of how to access every promise of God, whether it's healing, deliverance, breakthrough, favor, open doors, fulfillment of destiny, fulfillment of a call, how to access that promise, even if it is relegated for a future time, and how to access it and pull it into your now moment.
But wait a second, if it's relegated for the future, how could you pull it into the now?
Well, the Lord showed me in the Bible, because everything that we teach has to be based in the Word of God. And, you know, we see this happen in the Bible, where Mary and Jesus and the disciples, they were at the wedding of Cana. And they show up at this wedding, and the guys come out, and they're like, oh, you know, there's no more wine left. And Mary turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, they have no more wine. And Jesus is like, well, he's probably the only person that could get away with this. He called his mother woman. Woman, I don't know how he said it. Maybe he said it very nicely. Woman, dear woman, you know, what does this have to do with me? In other words, he was saying to Mary, his mother, Mary, it's not my time to do a miracle yet. It is not my appointed time to do a public miracle. In other words, it was not God's timing yet. She totally ignored him and said to the people, do whatever he tells you to do. And because Mary had vision to see what was in Jesus, she could see something that other people couldn't. Because she could have vision or see the potential of divinity that was in Jesus, there was faith in her heart. Vision produces faith, which produces an action. And she stepped out and she said, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And she actually launched Jesus' miracle ministry. Her faith and vision shifted the season of Jesus' life and launched him into his public miracle signs and wonders ministry. But she pulled something that was for a future delegated time, because even Jesus said, my time has not yet come. But because of her faith, she was able to pull something from a future moment into that now moment where they were and released the miracle.
Have you found that happening in your life, in the life of those that you teach this to?
Yes. Because I believe there are lots of people, they settle for something less than God's perfect will for them. Some people settle down in sickness, and they have a mindset that keeps them sick. They say, well, when God wants to heal me, if he ever wants to heal me, then I'll be healed during that time. And they settle down, and they stay in their sickness. But we tell people, Jesus, he accomplished all of it already. And if you can just see with eyes of faith, and we pray for faith because God is the source of our faith. He is the one that gives us the faith we need. So when we point people to the source, there's a faith, there's a tangible gift of faith, a spirit of faith that gets imparted into people. They begin to see what God's will is for them now.
Matt, give me a real life example of someone that pulled their future into their now.
Yeah, I know a story of a woman, Sid, where she was bound in a wheelchair, and she was going to a series of healing meetings. And as she was attending each night, you know, she'd be brought in, and they wheel her out, still sick, at the end of each night. And several days were going by. And, you know, her focus was in the wrong place. When she was coming into that meeting, she met the minister out in the foyer, and she looked at him and she said to him, please, you know, heal me. And her focus was on the man. And she kept leaving those services still sick, still bound in her place of life. But then the last night, it was the fifth night, she was wheeled in to that service. And her husband carried her body up to the altar and laid her body at the altar. During that time, she decided, you know what? I'm not going to look to man. I'm not going to look to anything. I'm just going to worship God. As she worshiped God, all of a sudden, she could feel the presence of the Lord washing over her in waves. And God gave her a vision. In the vision, she sees Jesus standing there down a long road, and she sees Jesus standing there, smiling and waving at her. And all of a sudden, as she catches the glimpse of Jesus, she sees his heart, she sees his love, she sees his joy, she sees his desire to heal her. All of a sudden, the healing power of God flows through her body, and she stands up totally, completely, 100% healed, and walks out of that service totally healed out of her wheelchair. But the key for this was she had been bound by sickness, waiting for something to happen. But the moment she forgot about everything else, the moment she got her eyes off man, the moment she got her eyes off herself, and she got her eyes onto Jesus in a place of worship, vision was imparted to her from God himself. As a result of that vision, faith was imparted to her heart. Faith then launched her into a place of being able to receive what God had for her life. Something that could have been way in the future for her, but she accessed it in that moment as a result of vision that released faith that caused this miracle to go into operation.
Matt Sorker had an experience in England in which literally a fiery, burning angel came into the meeting. You got to tell me about that, Matt.
Yeah, Sid, we were having a morning meeting that day and then later a night meeting. It was in the morning service. I was standing in worship and the spot next to me on my left side was empty. There was no one sitting there. Suddenly, during the worship time, I felt a burning heat coming from my left side. And I thought to myself at first, there's a pillar of fire standing next to me in the room. And I put my hand out to the left. And as my hand went into the air was burning hot. It was a different temperature than the other air. And then I pulled my hand out and it got cold. Put my hand in, it got hot again. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I've sent a seraphim, fiery angel, into the meeting today. So then God moved powerfully during that service. But then later that night, we were coming back to the church. I was in the restaurant with the pastor and a few other people before the service started, and my body started getting hot again, and I took my jacket off, and I just was feeling this tremendous heat. When we walked into the church, I stood up to preach, and when I went to open up my mouth, God literally struck me mute. He would not let me talk, and I'm standing there in front of a crowd packed out, a church full of people, and I go to talk, you know, and they're waiting for me to say something, but no words are coming out. I totally lose the ability to speak. And that lasted for about 2 hours. And as I stood there on the platform behind the pulpit, that seraphim angel came into the meeting, and the fire of God started to fill the atmosphere. The physical temperature got so dramatically hot. People started taking off their extra layers of clothes. They started opening up the doors, the windows. And for 2 hours, the tangible fire of God moved through that church. People were set free. They were purged. They were delivered. It was a visitation of the fire of God.
Is that sort of encounter going to be happening more and more? Because we're really in the last of the last days right now. What is God showing you that will be happening on planet Earth as far as the supernatural?
Well, you know, God has a vision, and his vision is that the whole earth will be covered with the knowledge of the glory of God. And I believe as time accelerates, as we get closer to the end, there is an acceleration happening. You see it all around. You see it even in what's happening in nature. And I think, you know, it's good to mention, you know, we see a lot of earthquakes. We see a lot of tornadoes. We see these crazy, tumultuous things happening within nature itself. It's a sign that it's accelerating to the point of Christ's return, because all of nature is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And when we talk about the sons of God, we're talking about the church. And, you know, when you study that in the Greek, son of God means a mature son. So when we talk about, you know, the earth being covered with the glory, we're talking about God raising up in the last days, as time is accelerating right now. God is raising up mature sons, mature daughters, who will know how to walk in the Spirit, how to be led by the Spirit, how to walk in the glory, how to live in the glory, how to release the glory, and how to see God's presence and power literally be released over nations, over regions, over whole aspects of society. And I believe that these days of acceleration, we're going to see an acceleration of His glory, an acceleration of people really being led by the Holy Spirit, walking in the power of the Spirit, because these are the mature sons.
And now you told me that we're coming into, for lack of better words, a choice of people are going to have to choose to get rid of the giants in their life or fall to these giants. I mean, there's no in between, and especially with there's going to be a transition of spiritual leaders. What did God show you?
Yeah, we are in a very, I'm going to say, crucial time right now. Crucial time, almost life and death in some situations. There are, you know, right now, I believe leaders, spiritual leaders, people in the body, we are at a point of facing our giants. Every person will have some sort of giant in their life. It could be some area of their personality that they're dealing with, an area of their flesh. It could be a trial, a temptation, an issue, a character issue. It could be any number of things. But the Lord is calling us right now to face our giants head on. If we will face our giants head on, like David confronted Goliath, there will be, for those who will make the choice to confront their giants, deal with their giants, and by God's power see those things taken down in their life. After David defeated the giant, the crown of authority, of kingship, was brought to David. His choice to confront the giant literally drew the crown of promotion into his life and brought him to his next level of fulfillment of his destiny. So as people right now make the choice to face their giants, deal with their issues in private with the Lord, there will be a promotion and an increase drawn to their life. But for those who choose not to deal with their giants, there will be consequences for that.
Now, one of the things you shared earlier this week is you had a private visitation just before Oral Roberts' promotion to heaven, in which he taught you about love and laid hands for a special impartation. Tell me an example of what's been happening in your life. For instance, the woman in Wales that was so skeptical. How did love affect that healing?
Yes. You know, Sid, we've seen love be the key for the real genuine power of God. This woman, you know, we were in a meeting, and the altar was filled with people, and we were praying for the sick, and the Lord showed me this woman sitting way back in her chair, and He told me to go pray for her. And I said, Lord, I said, if she needed prayer, she'd be up here at the altar. I don't think she wants prayer. She's sitting down. And God said, go pray for her. So I left the altar, and I walked back to where she was sitting, and I looked down at her, and I said, can I pray for you? And she looked up at me, and she said, no, I don't want you to pray for me. And she was angry and mean and bitter and just had a lot of stuff going on. And I looked up at God, and I said, God, I told you she didn't want prayer. And the Lord just again spoke to me, pray for her. So as I looked at her again, I said, can I pray for you? She began to tell me all of the sickness that was in her body. I mean, she kept going on and on and on. And she said, I've had every person pray for me. I've gone to the doctors. I even had this part of my organ taken out of my body, and I still have all the pain. I still have all the sickness. The doctors can't help me. God won't heal me. And she was just in a really depressed, very dark place. So I just closed my eyes, and I started praying in the Spirit because I had to get out of the natural. If I let myself get caught in where this woman was, it would hinder me from being able to pray for her. So I closed my eyes, started praying in the Spirit. As I was praying in the Spirit, suddenly in my heart, I started to feel this love rise up in me. I didn't care if this woman was telling me off, if she wanted to slap me. All I could feel, and I literally felt it, was God's love for her. His heart, His overwhelming love for this woman. And the power of God was released on her. I mean, she stood there with her eyes open. She wouldn't even bow her head to pray. But you know what? God loved her so much, and He saw through all of the issues of her life. He saw the hurt in her heart and the pain in her heart. And you know what? His love overcame it all. And suddenly this power of God came upon her, and that woman was totally healed. And not only was she healed, but she started laughing. She started crying and laughing and crying. And she said to me, she said, all the pain is gone. She said, but not only is all the pain gone, I could feel the presence of God again. And I haven't felt him in 5 years. I have felt so dead. I haven't felt alive. I haven't felt God in 5 years. And I feel his presence throughout all of my being right now. And so the Lord not only healed her, but he revived her, restored her, and it flowed out of God's love.
Now, we're making available Matt's new book, Power for Life, and his 4-CD series called How to Pull Your Future into the Now. You'll find out there's such an anointing on Matt to motivate you, to want to fulfill your destiny, to go deeper into God. That's what you've been crying out for. We're making this available for a gift of $40. Matt, very briefly, the anointing is so strong. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, oppression is leaving people. You must leave, you spirit of oppression, right now. Matt, pray for healing, for miracles right now.
Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you right now that your anointing is going over the airwaves. Your tangible presence, we take authority over sickness. We take authority over oppression, over depression, Lord, over every form of sickness and disease and infirmity. And we say in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, be loosed from your infirmity, be loosed from that heaviness, be loosed from that depression, be loosed into God's healing and wholeness and freedom. In Jesus' name, we declare it over you now. Thank you, Lord.
It's especially a spirit of oppression, Matt. And we agree, two or more agree, touching any one thing. In Jesus' name, we agree that back has just been healed and that neck has just been healed. But we agree in Jesus' name, you spirit of oppression, you must get off of people right now. Shabbat broadcast, the Lord has blessed you. The Lord has kept you. The Lord has caused his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord has granted you his shalom, his completeness in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. In the name of the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzikinu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Ve'yishmarecha Ye'er Adonai panevelecha v'chonecha Yisagona Asem lecha shalom.
To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.